Welcome to SITREP NYC, the New York City Department of Veteran Services podcast. I'm Gil Feliciano. Today, we resume our series on the health of women veterans. This episode, we'll explore the factors that keep women in the military from addressing illness and injury. This episode will feature women veterans in conversation with U.S. Navy veteran Monique Johnson. Cyrene Renee, United States Air Force veteran.
I've never gone and did any of the disabled paperwork, even though I have a medical discharge. Just to put it out there, I have endometriosis, and I did not know I had endometriosis. It's believed that I had it since I was 13. Endometriosis, by the way, is when tissue lining of the uterus grows outside of the uterus and it attaches itself. It can attach itself to different organs, and it can lead to pain, and excessive bleeding, and menstrual cycles are now labor pains. I didn't get diagnosed until I was well in the service, which means I had all these issues during my service time that were never resolved. My pregnancy was very hard. I was on bed rest from 2.5 months on, and they just was like, oh, she's not handling her pregnancy well. I didn't know I had a disease when I was pregnant. They just found tumors. You know, so my squadron in particular was not kind. They were trying to get me in trouble for dereliction of duty, for the chaplain calling a medic in because I passed out in the bathroom. Per AFI, a woman cannot have endometriosis and actively serve in the United States Air Force. I did not know that until I was diagnosed, which is why I kept it so hidden, because I did not want to look weak. And I hid it from my squadron, and I didn't want them to know that I'm throwing up in a bathroom 6 times a day, they would just see me disappear and come back pale. They're like, are you okay? Sarge, you good? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, let's go do what we need to do. It was like, oh, crap, they know I'm sick, but they can't know why I'm sick because it's showing weakness. And if I'm showing weakness, then they're going to assume that I'm one of them girls that I was, you know, in the service with earlier, or used their femininity and their womanhood as a crutch, and I cannot be used in that way. I cannot be seen that way. So I got very quiet with even my military brothers, to the point where the only person who knew was my supervisor and my best friend. And I said, if you tell anyone, I'm gonna punch you in the face. And they knew I was serious, and they never did. It was like, Serene just doesn't feel good. I went to my primary healthcare manager for a spider bite on my nose. She comes in the office and I'm throwing up in her trash can. And she looked at me and said, are you pregnant? And I said, no, this is just my cycle. And she looked at me and said, you know, that's not normal. I said, well, it's my normal. She had just come off from a deployment, so she was a new doctor. So she looks back in my records and said, you have been complaining about this since you joined the Air Force. It's all documented in your records. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that I go through, which is the same thing that I would deal with when I was a teenager. My mom would take me to the hospital all the time. And the only thing they would say is, she's just being a girl and she can't take it. So it turned out to be my normal. I'm explaining to my doctor what I'm feeling and all my symptoms. And I don't know this woman. Known her 5 minutes. She leaves the office, comes back and says, I could probably diagnose you now, but with this particular disease, you must have surgery. I was like, what are you talking about? What disease? I'm just going through my life. And she said, no, I believe you have endometriosis, and you're now relieved of duty. You come in tomorrow for pre-op. Your surgery is Monday. She really didn't want to give me that hysterectomy, but it got to the point where I couldn't walk. I couldn't work. I hid it for like 2.5 years. After my diagnosis, and finally my doctor said, listen, you can't hide it anymore. She was actually pregnant and willing to get off of her maternity leave to do the surgery for one day and go back on leave. They wouldn't let her do it. That's what she was like, I don't want anybody touching you. I don't want anybody to do what needs to get done because they may not know what they're doing. And it was the first time a doctor gave a damn. She got out shortly after my surgery. And after she got out, the care stopped. The concern stopped. Everything stopped. that's it. Like, she literally got out. She sent me a message and she was like, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I'm no longer going to be in service anymore. And, you know, we had a friendship over years. Like, she was the most, she saw the inside of me that I, you know, no one else did. She performed my very first surgery ever. I was very nervous and scared and things like that. We had a lot of private, personal conversations other than I was going through additionally in my personal life, even down to my father passing away during this whole process. So when she got out, it just seemed like I never heard from anyone else again regarding anything. And I did reach out a couple times to the medical unit that was handling my paperwork, and they wouldn't respond. And I'm like, you know what? I'm over it. They'll figure it out. I'm going to get kicked out anyway. And then I got a letter like maybe 2 years later. We determined that you can't stay in. I never heard anything back from anybody, not even a DD-214. I have nothing. And I never asked a question, and I just went on with my life, and I took it as a slap in the face.
Valentina Patino, veteran of the United States Army ROTC.
So I joined the military in 2015, and the reason of joining was literally because I want to challenge myself. How I got disabled was that I was running one day, just a regular run, and I felt pain in my back. I went home, and as soon as I got off from the train, I couldn't walk. I was paralyzed. I live 3 blocks away from my house. I live 3 blocks away from the subway. It took me 3 hours to get home. Since that day, I would say that for 3 months, I couldn't sleep because it was so painful. Then I went to the doctor. We did examinations, we did MRIs, we did all kind of tests. Turns out I have something called stenosis. Stenosis is a narrowing of the spine. When I describe it, I say that my discs are getting deteriorated because of the pressure I put on my back, and they are touching the nerve, and 3 discs are shift to a side. So that's my disability. They said it was because of everything I have done with the military. Maybe the rock marches that we do, maybe I was not doing it properly. All my life, I have been an athlete. So it's not that I never did an intense workout in my life. It's just that this is different. It's a competition, a daily competition with the males. You want to show that you deserve to wear the uniform just like them, because you don't want to be that female in uniform being girly, delicate. That's how they see us. Like, she doesn't run as fast as I do. Oh, okay, yes, you pass your PT test with a 300. Yeah, but you are evaluated differently. It's always like that. It's always a debate. It's always a competition. It's just that we had to prove them that they are wrong and that we deserve to wear the uniform just like them. It's just a competition to ourselves as well, because we don't want to be inferior. Even though we know we can do whatever we want, we still want to show it to everybody. That's all.
Monique Johnson, United States Navy veteran.
In the military, you're focused on doing the job. So if your male counterparts are lifting a certain load or they're doing a certain thing, whether you're trained or not, you know you have a role, and we typically don't want to come across as a lesser individual or less or weaker than our male counterparts. So even if it is hard on the body, you will endure what you have to push through. I was injured multiple areas while I was active duty serving. My back, my knees, my wrists, part of my jaw. No soldier, sailor, airman wants to admit that they are hurt. No one who wants to stay in the military and have a career and really progress in the military wants to be hurt or to showcase that level of weakness. I feel like that's a pressure across the board. How much so is it for a woman who's already in a culture that considers her to be weak and to be a weak link and inferior? You feel the more pressure to not admit that yeah, I can take that pain. It's not as bad. It doesn't hurt as bad. I can brush it off.
Yeah.
That's a part of the culture.
I think that's my case. because when I got hurt and I was on bed for 3 days straight, 3 days without moving, I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything by myself. I said, oh, it doesn't matter. In 1 week, I'm going to go back and I'm going to run again. Oh, yeah, I just had to take some pills because I couldn't admit it. I didn't want to admit it to anybody. Oh, Patino, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Are you sure you can run? Yes. But in my mind, I knew something was wrong. After 1 year, I realized that my health is first. And I got to that conclusion after many long talks with my commander. She is a female. She can talk to you about anything. You can be honest with her. I remember telling her, ma'am, I love the military. I want to stay here. I want to keep trying. And she's like, Patino, you know what? Just relax. Relax. Take care of yourself. Get better. And then we will see if you can go to advanced camp. Advanced camp is the basic training for cadets. And I was like, no, man, I'm pretty sure I can do it. I'm pretty sure. No, nope, I couldn't. I couldn't keep up with the rock marches. I couldn't keep up with the running. I couldn't keep up with anything because it was so painful. And I would just go back to the office. Ma'am, please just give me one chance. Ma'am, no, you know I can do it. Okay, Patino, just don't get hurt. You already know your situation. Yes, ma'am. I will keep trying and trying. When they told me it would be better to have a medical discharge, I was so sad. I'm like, oh my God. Because I'm the type of person that don't quit. If I start something, I have to finish. If I say no more, it's because I want to say no more. But with this situation, somebody else had to say no. I have never received a no. So it was hard. It was really hard to accept the fact that I cannot serve, that I cannot wear the uniform. Because it's different when you get out with honorable discharge, because you get to go back if you want. With a medical discharge, it's a very low possibility to get in, because they had to check again if you're fit, if you are ready to serve, and all of those. It's a long process, and it's most likely that they don't accept you back. It hurts. It hurts to accept that. It hurts to live when you don't want to live. It's like, I feel like I'm quitting, but I know there's something more important, which is my health. So I don't know how to define how I feel right now, if this is like a defeat or what it is, but I know I need to change my mindset, I don't know, and just think that there are more options there. It's not just the military. There's also a life. I have a good career. I'm about to graduate. I'm with NBC. So I know it's going to be fine. So right now, I'm still part of the ROTC program because I told the commander that this is my last semester and I just want to finish it. Once again, if I start something, I have to finish it. And I'm also finishing my school, my degree in corporate communications. I have my second internship with NBC, which is awesome. It's like a dream come true. I'm doing ad sales, and hopefully I can get a full-time job after. But so far, the military has given me really good opportunities. It opened doors. Like, I got my internship because I went to an SBA networking event and I met a recruiter for NBC that he was actually the coordinator of the veteran group at NBC, and he hired me. So I know that the military will be always part of my life.
A lot of the systems, a lot of the things are structured, a lot of the PT tests, a lot of different things that are happening are geared to support men. I feel that women are fully capable to do what a male can do. I just think that we are unique and we have to tailor certain things to our physiques. And that doesn't mean that we're weak. That just means that we have to find creative ways to navigate a male-dominated, male-developed, male-oriented military.
CIVREP NYC is produced and edited by me, Gil Feliciano. Interviews are conducted by me and U.S. Navy veteran Monique Johnson. For the New York City Department of Veteran Services, stay safe.